God says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with that judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with that what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why buildest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pour out the mote that is in that of thine eye, And the other being is in thy own mind. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet, and turn again and rend ye. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom any son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereof. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few shall there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended from, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had these sayings, the people were astonished at him. And he told them as of one having authority, and not as the scribes. Amen. I'd just like to mention the verses there, verses 15 on there. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I have witnessed this myself, false prophets. In the late 60s, when I was a lay preacher on the streets as a teenager, in Manchester, I came across a group called the David Moses Group. These young people were disillusioned somewhat, but this David Moses was a prophet having words and visions from God. He wasn't the only one. There was others as well. There was even ministers among the churches. In the Methodist church out where I was, they didn't preach born again. They didn't preach that you're once saved, always saved. And whatever they preached meant nothing, because soon afterwards you would see them going to the public houses drinking themselves. Evangelical, Baptist, Bethanist, Zionist churches. Very few preached from the King James, you must be born again. Out of all of the churches that I've been to, and there have been quite a few, only two ever preached born again. And it is even worse today. I've been in churches here as well. Protestant church, I've even been to other churches as well. Methodist church, just visiting. And you can guarantee that they don't preach what the congregation needs to hear. I can only put it in a way that they preach what they want to hear, because the plate is getting empty. So instead of being, you must be born again, and mean it, they're going, well, that doesn't really matter. If you say, I go to church on a Sunday and I put money in the plates and you're doing great work. No. You're not doing great work. If you read from the Bible, and it's not the King James Bible, but the watered down Bible like the NIV or the New King James Version, and other versions that have come out that the devil uses very easily. Words are missing. Different meanings because of commas and full stops are not in the right place. It gives a totally different meaning. John 3:16 in the NIV makes out the word begotten. That's just one version. That one version tells you that you cannot be adopted into the family of Christ. Because the word begotten means to be prepared, made ready for him. As Jesus was made ready because he was the only begotten. We are to be made ready by becoming repentant and asking God to save us. That makes us ready. From then on, it's up to us to be prepared. God, in his words, and his wisdom, give us these words so that we will not be deceived. Jesus said, you will be deceived in the last days. And many elect shall be deceived. There are ravenous wolves out there. You have to be careful which one you listen and avoid. And pick a pastor or a church where the full counsel is given. Amen.
Bethel is in the good churches, isn't it?
Yeah, but that pastor, you don't have to. Yes.
Are you talking about the pastor now or the guy that was up here a few minutes ago? Thank you, Steve. Just shows even in the quotes, the good old days. And I know there were many people that were saved through the Billy Graham outreaches and through many other outreaches. There were still false prophets about, and I think it was only put the day off by a few decades. So
I heard Billy Graham speak, and he was a great evangelist.
He was good in his day until he hooked up with Rome and began calling the Mormons his brethren, good Christian brethren. So, unfortunately, like many of the Christian men in the Old Testament, started well and finished badly. Didn't do his people any good. Anyway, thank you for that. We appreciate being warned about false prophets and being mindful of who you give your attention to. I want to draw your attention to the prayer list. November the 26th to December the 3rd, in pink, because that was the colour of paper that Monica came across, and it's different to last week's. Please do take a moment, even once a week, and call out those names to God. Even if you just do it once a week, guarantee it only take 5 minutes. You might not know who all the people are, but I guarantee you God does. And just having your own name. If you're praying for those people, your name is on here. If you're praying for those people and somebody else is praying for those people, even with just who's here, we're missing Norman and Lynn and Dr. Shang and John and Colin. If everybody was here, we'd be prayed for twice every day, every week. So please do pray. We need prayers. Our weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are not carnal, but mighty through prayer. And if there was ever a time that strongholds need pulled down, it was at this particular time. But also ask for your prayers for Ed Bissett. He's a preacher down in Clady in Temple Patrick. He got a cancer diagnosis for the growth in his bladder, which they're hoping will, there's no such thing as minor surgery, they say. They're hoping they will be able to remove completely, and after a few weeks of recuperation, he will be getting back on his feet again. So please do pray for Ed. He's a missionary, originally raised up in Alaska. He's been over here for how long?
Since 78.
What's 78? Make it 45 years. Mm-hmm. He's the only missionary I know. I know there's one or two down south. He's the only one that I know that has actually stayed the course. So please do pray for him and his family at this time, the folks up in Clady Baptist. All the other names, they haven't changed any, unless anybody has anything they would like to add this morning. Yes, Mrs. Brad.
It is on there in the morning, but your dad's second cousin passed away.
Yep, my dad's cousin, Ronald Irvine, passed away there quite suddenly on, I think it was Wednesday afternoon. And the funeral will be on Wednesday up at the crematorium in Antrim, I believe. So we'd appreciate prayers for salvation for the Irvine family. They would be Seventh-day Adventists, and we know that just because you're in an out-and-out there church does not mean you're not saved, but it does make it very difficult for you to be saved. So please be prayed for the Irvine family at this time. They mourn the loss of a husband and a dad and a granddad. Anything else? Do pray for Dublin at this time. They are going through a period of realization. There was, an immigrant stabbed teacher and 4 or 5 children. And then the locals just got tired of this. And seemingly this has been an ongoing problem in Dublin, as it is in many countries in the world that have accepted illegal immigrants, or refugees, I think they like to be called. The locals gave him a hiding, and then I think a bunch of the locals later on decided to set fire to one of these immigrant hotels. And of course then, in support of them, they had a lot of locals come out and start looting shops. And that always says principle, doesn't it, whenever you loot shops. So pray for the right thing. Leo Varadkar has done what most of today's modern leaders are doing, and he has turned his back on his country and on the people that are tired of the treatment that these people that have been given guest status in their countries, fed, watered, clothed, and housed. And he has just said, he's introducing hate speech legislation, so they're not allowed to say anything about immigrants. Please do pray for Dublin, pray for our own country, for America, for Europe, for the fighting that's going on in Israel. We're commanded to pray for the peace of Israel. Please do pray for wisdom and divine provision. There's a lot going on. There's not less going on as the days go on. There's more going on as the days go on. But remember, when all this stuff's going crazy, the Bible says, look up, keep your eyes on the Lord, keep reading your Bible, keep be faithful in your reading and your prayer time and your church attendance and your praising and your praying and your giving and in your going and in your doing and in your testifying. Because there will come a day whenever the Lord comes for each and every one of us. And all that people are going to have is your testimony whenever you're gone. So let's leave in a good one. That's the service over for this evening. Go on ahead, Steve.
Let's not forget to pray for the people in England as well. The uprisings, the police force has come under attack. Quite a few critically injured. Pray for them and their families.
I did hear that. We know Christmas is a Christianized pagan festival. We know that. But who's the guy? Who's the mayor of London? Is that Sadiq Khan? He was fit to spend tens or hundreds of thousands putting up Ramadan celebrations whenever Ramadan was on. But now, there is not one mention of the word Christmas. In London, there's lights, there's angels and lights, but there's not one mention of the word Christmas in London. So please do pray for England in general. I think people are starting to get a bit tired of it. In all honesty, if we were Iraq or Iran or Gaza or the West Bank, we would have taken them all out and killed them. But we're not. So you would think that people would be glad of our restraint and our hospitality, but unfortunately with many people whose minds and hearts are set in wickedness and false religion, hospitality, kindness and patience are viewed as weaknesses. They're not virtues, they're viewed as weaknesses. So please do pray for our governments and for each other. There's a lot going on. People definitely need to get saved, but as all these things are happening, we see biblical prophecy coming to pass, and it means we could be gone any day now. So please do pray and do what you can. Be faithful. Be faithful. Anyway, anything else we need to add? Dublin and England, please do pray for those parts of our world. Amen. Well, could I ask you to lead us in a wee word of prayer if you would,
brother? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thanks for that. See us during all week, Lord. Lord, we know the time is immaterial to you, but you're unchangeable from the beginning of time up to the end of time and beyond, Lord. We thank you for your love, Lord, towards us, Lord. You sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, Lord. Would you save your enemies and friends, Lord, as well, Lord, from this sin, Lord. Lord, we have some prayer, Lord. And it's just that they couldn't out today with Lane, Frank, and Dr. Shine, keep safe from all of us, Lord. And we trust at the point of time and give us strength, Lord. We also remember calling Lord, wherever it is, keep safe, to live for our body, stop from dying. And Lord, keep it safe and well, and bring it back to Ulster, Lord, and bring it back home, deliver from any trouble, Lord. But also save Stephen, Carl, and John, deliver from any trouble, Lord, and bring them back to church, Lord, and convict them rightly and powerfully, save their souls, Lord. Lord, God, be with us as well, Lord. Steve, Lord, and he asked Lord to help him mightily and powerfully, and heal him mightily, give us strength, Lord, and support him, Lord. We thank you for having John on the rest today, Lord. Give him a blessing, Lord. He gives a blessing to us all, Lord. Our prayers, supplications, prayers, pleases be accepted on your side, Lord. May you see a blessing today, Lord. A beautiful, give part of the Spirit, Lord, as well, Lord. And may divide the gospel, Lord, and word of God, Lord. And give us a message from you, Lord. Each and one of us that are here today, Lord. A beautiful grace, Lord. And Lord, we offer us to Jesus Christ today, amen.
Amen. Thank you, well. Let's put our prayer lists away and get our hymn books again. Big ones again this time. And please do take and turn to hymn number, I can just find it, 448. 448, that's Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. 448 in the big books, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
Brethren, we will learn to worship, and the Lord.
Okay, one more before we open our Bibles this morning. This one is 132 by popular request. This one is Never Alone. And if you are fit, stand. If you are not, remain seated. But the important thing is, make a joyful sound. 8 verses. Everybody here okay?
He brought
thank you very much. Well, we've already had one reading in Matthew. We're not in Matthew 7 again. We're in Matthew 17, if you would like to take and turn there in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 17. It's good to have Pat and Steve back. I'm just staying in the car. It seems that sickness and one thing and another, you miss people when they're gone. It's good to have them by with us this morning in their entirety. Amen. It's good to have you. I'm going to be reading the first baker's dozen of verses from Matthew chapter 17. And I would like to give you a few thoughts on the subject of being encouraged. Encouraged, that is the title for the message this morning. And we're reading from Matthew chapter 17. The Word of God says,
17.
What did I say?
17.
We started already and we haven't even gotten into the sentence. Matthew 17. Just to confirm. Matthew 17. The Word of God says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're taking that whole section as our text, or at least the first 10 verses of it. We're speaking on the subject of encouraged, or being encouraged. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you for our wee bit of time here, aside from the Word. I pray that, Lord, that you would bless this reading, teaching, studying, praising, praying, and fellowship, Lord, that everything would be done decently and in order, Lord, the way you like things. Please bless our time. Please give us portions of understanding. Please help us to realize, Lord, that none of us is an island, and that we do need you, Father. We need our big brother in Jesus Christ. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it's nice to have a bit of fellowship with the brethren of the book. Thank you for loving us and saving us. Thank you, Lord, for preserving your word for us. And thank you, Lord, for this little aside, this shelter in the time of storm. Leave us at your feet, Lord, and pray that you would help us this morning. And our sister churches, wherever they might be. Especially for Stan and the folks in Bangor, for Ed Bissett and the folks in Temple Packet, for the Haynes and the Aswiths in Black Creek in America, and for Phil and Natalie Seely the same. For them, Wilkinson, Lord, for all those that love you and are prepared to stand and preach the full counsel of your word, I pray your good hand to be upon us. Amen. 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 I am sure this is a familiar portion of God's Word. to many of us. And I have often wondered what this portion of God's Word in the past, what this portion of God's Word was for, and why exactly it was that it has been recorded for us or even shown to us, because it was all about the Lord. It was what the Lord was doing. He wasn't speaking to or dealing with any of the apostles or disciples. They were there purely as observers. And amen, let's have a look at it and see what it says. If we were to read the previous chapter, because our portion of scripture starts with "and after 6 days," before this, the Lord has been speaking to the apostles. He's been giving them some very bad news. He has literally been laying out what's going to happen next in his ministry. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be lied about. He's going to be abandoned. He's going to be rejected. And he's going to die. Now you have to remember, these apostles have seen Jesus call people back from the dead. They have seen him command a fig tree to die. Die. Nobody will ever get another fig off of you. They have literally been in the boats when he has called the fish up out of the sea, called the fish into the net, put it into the boat, and the boat nearly sank. He has demonstrated that he is God Almighty time and time again, and he has been a good friend to them. He healed Peter's wife's mother from a sickness. Remember early on in the ministry, and she got up out of her bed and started ministering to Jesus. But this also contains, if anyone recalls to mind, the instance where the Lord says to Peter, "Peter, you're like a little stone, you're a chip off the old block," he says, "but upon the block I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And I'm glad, once you're saved, nothing can unsave you, you're going to heaven. But we do know, like three or four verses later, that as the Lord tells the apostles this bad news, and they know it's going to happen, because they know that he doesn't spin yarns, he's not a joker, he's not taking a hand out of them, they know it's going to happen. And Peter says, "Be it far from you, Lord." Peter, and the Lord says, "Get thee hence from me, Satan, get behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto God. You want all the good things, but you know what? Sometimes good things require a lot of hard work." Again, an example would be in the church. I like the two ramps. We should have had a ramp there for years. It was so much easier getting stuff in and out of church at the back. And I like that ramp. Was an easy fix. That one there, we were in Wellingtons for 3 or 4 days, digging out maybe a ton or more of rock and muck. You would be surprised at. But the result of it all is a much better finished ramp, and it's clean and it's even. And anyway, you get the idea. Sometimes to have a beautiful result requires you to roll your sleeves up and get some dirt under your fingernails. And you know, we like good things to happen. No doubt about it. We like the good things to happen, but Jesus was telling the apostles, these things are going to happen. You might not understand now why they're going to happen, but they are going to happen. Mm-hmm. If someone was given a very serious, maybe even terminal diagnosis in this day and age, we go through a period of grieving before the person passes away. In other words, we suffer the death of opportunity before we suffer the death of the person. And there is a certain amount of grief involved in that. Oh, we could have done this. I wish we'd done that. And it takes us a while to deal with these things. Then we step into the start of our portion of God's Word. They would have been at a low ebb. They would have been subdued. I'm sure Jesus wasn't dancing a jig either, even though he knew, even from the foundation of the world, exactly what is going to happen, in the same way that we know we are forever heading towards the grave and hell if you're lost, and the grave and heaven if we're saved. Sometimes we put it off a bit and we enjoy the experiences of good times. 6 days, the Bible says. 6 days, of the six is the number of man. And after those 6 days of grieving, those 6 days of heavy back and forth, what does it mean? What does the Lord really mean? He's going to die. He's been a great friend to us. He's helped us. He's healed us. Is he going to die? Do people really hate him that much? Everybody, the thousands that ate from the bread that he blessed and broke off and the fishes, everybody that ate that, they loved him. They loved him so much they were going to come and make him king. He's going to die. On the seventh day, we get to see what comes after the days of men, have the day of God, if you like. And Jesus takes 3 of his apostles, Peter and James and John, and he takes them up into a mountain, high up into a mountain. And they get to see Jesus. The Bible says he was transfigured before them. In fact, if you were to compare this description of Jesus to the descriptions of Christ gave in the book of Revelation, you will see that they are pretty much the same. His face was shining and his raiment was white. But there were 2 other guys with him. And you need to know there's a little prophecy, I think it's at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about we'll be known as we're known. That might not be right, but the Bible does say that there'll come a day when we'll be known as we're known. In other words, someone that has never met me will know it. I'm Mark Bradfield in heaven. And we'll sit down in fellowship. They'll even know Steve. Well, a lot of people know Steve before we get to heaven. But you'll be known. Not know everything about you, but you'll be known. Moses and Elijah, they appear. And there is Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and they're chatting. Now, the disciples are scared about witness. And they say, Lord, should we make 3 tabernacles? Or maybe Peter just, Peter talked first, think later, thought, we'll make 3 tabernacles. I don't know why, but I tell you what, if the Lord suddenly appeared in all of his glory and Moses and Elijah with him, there's a lot of thoughts would be running through my head, and I'm sure that exactly the same thoughts were running through the apostles' heads. And even as they're chatting, God the Father speaks to them. He says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, Jesus has come to the point of life in his life and his ministry in this world that he dreaded. Just because he is immortal, just because he is God, he is also fully God and fully man. He dreaded what he was going to have to do, but because of his love for us and our need for him, he went obediently ahead with it. We know that he dreaded it because his direction and his actions and his nature were all at odds at the thought of his sin nature becoming sin for us. His sinless nature and him becoming sin for us. He was about to suffer separation from God Almighty, and that is one of the... I don't know how I managed before I got saved and I was able to call upon the Lord in prayer and just bear my soul to him. But he was about to suffer separation from God Almighty, his Father. He was about to have all of our sins loaded upon his shoulders. He was about to be humiliated by those he came to save. He was about to be beaten by those that he came to save, and at the very, very end, rejected by those that he came to save. And then to be abandoned by his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. But a reminder of what was to come after the sacrifice, the pain, the rejection and the abandonment came in the form of Elijah and Moses. And his Father speaking to the disciples, the apostles from the cloud. You have to remember this same Elijah who He basically lost all hope. After he defeated the prophets of Baal, and Jezebel came after and says, I'm going to get you. And he ran for his life. And he got to the desert, and it was too much for him, and he fell asleep. Remember, the angel made the little cakes for him, and on the power of the whatever was in those cakes, he went across the desert until he came to a cave. And he went into the cave and he had himself a little pity party, which we do sometimes. He says, Lord, I've been very zealous for you, and there's only me left. And do you remember what the Lord said to him? He called him out to the front of the cave. And he made a huge hurricane appear, and a fire, and a mighty wind, and the rocks were torn up. And God demonstrated his power to Elijah, and he said, Elijah, there are 7,000 people in the country that have not bowed the knee to thee, and you're not on your own. And he encouraged Elijah, can you imagine, after God doing all that for you? And the Father says to Elijah and Moses, I need you to go down there and just have a wee bit of fellowship with my son. Because even though he is me, he is also fully man. And he is fully aware and feels the dread of his approaching death, of his execution. Go down and encourage him. Let's see Moses. Do you remember the hard times Moses had? Constantly having his head turned by the children of Israel. He goes up on the mountain to get the greatest works of literature that man has seen. And he's gone for 40 days. Not the whole of Israel, but a whole lot of Israel is worshipping calves, golden calves, my goodness. And they're partying and they're carrying on. And Moses said, goodness, that's the sound of slaughter. And I think it was Aaron, or I can't remember who it was. It's not slaughter, it's the people partying and having fun. And Moses called upon those that hadn't been partying to take their swords and run through the people and kill all of those that have been worshipping devils, basically. Remember the time they did his head in so much, instead of speaking to the rock, he forgot himself and he struck the rock with the rod, and the Lord, knowing the people's need, had the water come out, but he broke the type of Christ. Christ in the rock that was first struck, but Christ in the rock that would be forever spoken to after that and never struck again, which is what he did for us. You can imagine what looking after a bunch of people did to Moses, that were, whose hearts were constantly set in mischief. And God spoke to him face to face as a man speaks with a friend. And God called him my servant. A great accolade from God, my servant. And here Moses was called upon to come down and encourage Jesus. Talk with him for a little bit. Remind him, even though he knew it, sometimes it pays, it helps us that other people understand where it is that we are. Lord, we know that you're going to be going through a tough time, but people need this. Their souls need to be saved. They need to know that God is with them no matter what, and this will be the result of your sacrifice. And in the same way that the Lord commands us, when we see all these things coming at us from every direction, he calls us to look up. Jesus was called to look up. He was reminded. And even as they talked, his father spoke to him and said, this is my beloved son. In other words, I am pleased with you. I love you so much. But I also love all of the souls upon this world. Isn't that what the Bible says in John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Confirmation of what was coming, but that it was only for a little while. And that those 33 years in this sin-cursed world were drawn to a close, and that he would soon take his place at the right hand of our Father in heaven. Have you ever noticed sometimes when things are going on, you get very focused in on them, and you lose sight of the big picture. And you can get annoyed about little things. And we have to be reminded that, of course, we are not our own, that we owe God everything, but that we have a home in heaven. And that regardless of the, how would you put it, the trials and troubles we get in a day, we're going to heaven. We have the meat, we have the potatoes, we have the veg, everything else is gravy. Now the Bible does say that we are made in God's image. And I remember a story going back many, many years about a man that had taken sick. I think maybe he had a bad flu, I don't know, it was enough to put him in his bed. And people would come and visit him and say, well, do you know what, Fred? You're not looking so good. You're looking very pale and you're sweating a lot and you look weak. And you tell me you're not eating either, that's a bad sign, Fred. And as people kept coming and telling him this, he would get worse and worse. Until, and we'll say the preacher, because preachers are known to have fonts of wisdom and encouragement. He came to the fellow and he said, Fred, you're looking grand. You've been sick for a week. But you'll turn around soon. And Fred started to pick up and get better. We need encouragement. But it is very easy to disappear into our own trouble. I did mention that we're made in God's image. And the desires that God has, his love for us, his sacrifice for us, his giving for us, but also his jealousy of doing the right thing, in other words, of having no other gods before us, we'll call us pale imitations of God. We're made in his image. And you imagine the tough times that you go through. And sometimes how, maybe not even a word, but even just an ear, there to listen to you venting your spleen, getting it off your chest, that can be a help to you. There's no saying a problem shared is a problem halved. But imagine even beyond that, if someone puts an arm under your arm and lifts you up or makes you a cup of tea and just lets you sit there and enjoy a little bit of ministry for a change. Imagine what that does for you and I, and then think what being reminded of heaven does for the man that lived here for 33 years, surrounded by nothing but sin and death. And be thankful. Because if Jesus had gotten angry instead of getting encouraged, we wouldn't be having this conversation today, because those 12 legions of angels would have been dispatched and rightfully wiped out every single living person on the face of the earth. As for the men that went with the Lord, we don't know the big picture. We have the broad strokes in the Bible. But we can't see all the threads and how events are connected. We can have a good guess. And how that affects people, although we can have a good guess. But with all the things that have just been told, and the grief that they were feeling, and maybe even the fear, they were amazed to see Moses and Elijah. Hey, that's Moses and Elijah, and these guys have been dead like for hundreds of years, and they're alive forevermore. That's neat. There was a promise of eternal life after this life is over. And I am sure they were also reminded of the temporary nature of life to see these men that had lived and died before them, but were alive forevermore as well. They were encouraged. They were terrified to hear the voice of God, because the Bible says they went down on their hands and faces as if to protect themselves from God. They were reminded of sin and judgment to come, of what it's like to be in the presence of a thrice holy God. And those things are too much for a mortal man to bear. They were so, so awe-inspiring. And this is where we are. We're the mortal men and women. And reading this doesn't do it justice. We read about it, and maybe someday Well, if you think about all of the things that Hollywood does and the flashing lights and the awe-inspiring battles and things that they're able to produce, it doesn't, still wouldn't do it justice to the change that it makes in people's lives to be confronted with God. Or should I say, do we? Because in all honesty, every single soul that's saved has been confronted with God. Sin and judgment to come. The love of God and the offer of his forgiveness. That is what we have all been given, and that does change people. As we make our way through this world and on to the next, it is so easy, especially if you're reading on in Matthew 24 about the things that are ahead of this world, it's so easy to become prey to the discouragement and fear. In fact, that is what the world, the flesh, and the devil has planned for us, because people that are running back and forwards like headless chickens are easy prey. You think about the anti-Christian laws and sentiments that are on every side, and the hatred of God's people, the Jews, hatred of God's people, the Christians, rising prices because of a lack of famines, health issues and diseases, the pestilences. We literally, biblical prophecy come to pass. It's easy to get discouraged. And it's easy for Joe Public that doesn't read his Bible to say, why is God letting this happen? Well, the simple answer is that God said, this is going to happen, but you shouldn't be troubled about it. Don't be looking for your safety in this world. Use the things in this world to live your life, but don't be dependent upon them to save your soul. Look up. And that is why it is necessary we don't give in to those things, or should I say, not don't give in to them, but give in to them, but replace them with things that do encourage us. First of all, is people encouraging people. Be ready to sacrifice a little bit of your time or of the goodness of your hearts and the kindness and encourage people. It shouldn't be cutting the feet out from each other, but lifting each other up. And in a more spiritual sense, and whenever it comes to the brethren and yourself, don't neglect your prayer life. Whether you're praying here in church or whether you're praying in your closet, your prayer closet at home, you need to be in prayer. Talking to like-minded people, but also talking to your Father in heaven and having him talk back to you, that is a great encouragement. Sometimes it'll just be your presence that is required. Maybe you'll need to roll up your sleeves, sit at the table, as we said earlier on, drink a cup of tea or even make a cup of tea. Maybe you need to read over a portion of the scripture. Or just sit in the company of like-minded people. People that you don't have to have a wall up and be defending yourself against all the time. And another good one is to sing those good hymns. Not just when you're in church, but at home. Whether you can sing like an angel, or whether it sounds like someone's wringing a cat's neck. Or you just step on their foot whenever there's six of them around your feet and you're trying to step very gingerly. And the next thing you know, you hear, wow! Cat runs for cover, but not for too long because it knows the food's coming. Maybe that's all we need. A bit of fellowship. A bit of praise. But most of all, we need faithfulness. Obedience. We need to do the things that God asks us to do. I'm going to tell you something. Everything else in this world will chop and change. And it is designed to sweep the feet out from under a Christian. But when you have a walk and a talk with the Lord Jesus Christ, with our Father which is in heaven, and you are ready to listen to him, that goes on regardless. Should you have £1 million in the bank and you're a good Christian, that is the foundation of your life. Should you have £10 in the bank and you're a good Christian, that is the foundation of your day-to-day life. And you need to keep at it. The Bible says that God will be no man's debtor. Whenever you do for God, whatever you give up for God, whatever you sacrifice to God, the Bible says God is something that's 100 times better there for you. Mm-hmm. Might not see it at the time in a world that's given over to stuff as the raison d'etre, but the things that God has to give are the things that are really important. Sometimes it takes a lot of Bible teaching, and sometimes it takes a lot of experiences to realize that. But even the things that the Bible says we should do, and sometimes we do with gritted teeth and clenched fists, those encourage. I want to give you a wee example that I haven't used for quite a while. We used to go out tracking on a Tuesday night, and some days it would be pitch black before we even started. And one Tuesday morning, I was listening to the radio, and I think it was Radio 5. And they were talking about fires being burned here in Chantalo, and there's another fire burned in the overpass as you go down to the bog side. And I was thinking, we're supposed to be going out tracking tonight. And they're burning the place to the ground. And that's just exactly where we happen to be tracking. It's almost like the devil knew. And he does know a lot of stuff. And I thought, and I prayed, Lord, I'm actually a little bit worried. And the Lord said to me, would you turn that radio off? Have a beep at you in the morning instead of telling you all the troubles and the woes of the world. Read your Bible, say your prayers, and go out and do the tracking. So I went out the first day in faith, the first Tuesday, because I had heard the bad news. And I was thinking, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm here like you said I should. You see, after that, I never listened to the radio in the morning again. And you know what? I was never afraid to go out again. I just kept my eyes on the Lord. You do that, brothers and sisters, and God will bless you. You do the things that need to be done, no matter should you fear them or dread them. If you keep your eyes on God, He will give you strength, comfort, wisdom. He will never leave you, never forsake you, and never cast you out. He will always be with you. He will give you the words to speak just whenever you need them, and the ministrations of angels. He will give you, in quotes, coincidence after coincidence to make sure you get the job done that He has set before you. Don't watch what's going on in the world. Keep your eyes on what's going on in the Bible, and what's going on in heaven, and what's going on that God has for you to do. If we took our time and did what God had us to do, we wouldn't have time to be worried about what the world, the flesh, and the devil would have us do. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your attention as we had that little bit of a look at Jesus being encouraged up the mountain and how He wants us to be encouraged day by day. Amen. Amen. We have, if I asked anyone for a song that we haven't sung, Closer Walk with Thee it is. Hymn number 319. Thank you, Steve. Good pick of songs this morning. That's done well with the reading and the preaching. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Not that. You know how that one we're going in. Amen. That's it. Let's stand as we sing.
I'll be satisfied as long.
bless you for being here and honour you as you honour God.
Amen.
Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being one of our number. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for each head that's bowed in your presence. And I pray, Lord, for your good hand upon us as we part company and head on our separate ways. Please be with our absent brethren, Father. Please be with Norman. You know all the things he has in his plate right now. Pray for that, for Colin, for John and Carol and Stephen. And Lord, that you would broaden our door. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for loving us and saving our souls. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, folks. We're dismissed. God bless you.